Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast because you love the small business owner that I'm about to feature, I want you to know that we chat with lovable small business owners every week. You can get this podcast sent directly to your phone by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Revolutionary Care. Revolutionary Care is a mobile massage business. So we'll just start with the basics. If you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
So my name is Resna Hillmore, and I own the massage therapy mobile business, Revolutionary Care.
Can you tell me a little bit about how Revolutionary came to be from like little baby seedling to where it is today?
So Revolutionary Care, I actually didn't opt to even have my own business. That's not something I ever wanted to do because I thought it was, it's too much. Like, I don't know how I would handle everything. But having a corporate background in human resources was extremely stressful, and I was not happy. And so there was a lot of different things that happened to me physically, like where my body was just not able to take the stress, not able to deal with things, and I needed an out. And so from that point, just kind of like soul searching and trying to figure out where I should really go, what I should really do to fulfill myself, but also to sustain myself because you got to pay rent. I came back to the holistic, you know, healing, which I did growing up. And so I signed up for massage therapy school. And right away I was like, why haven't I been doing this all along? I mean, it really helped kind of unpack things that were happening in my life. And then out of massage therapy school, I'm like working for a chiropractic office, working in a spa, working for people. And I'm like, I'm still not able to really facilitate healing in the way that these people need. So I start to look for various ways to really grow the scope of what I was doing. Didn't have a business name, didn't know anything really about business in that industry, but just knew I had to have my own business to really help people the way that I wanted to.
What kind of niche did you feel like you were filling? What did you feel like you were bringing to customers?
I felt like people that I served really didn't believe they could heal themselves. I felt that they were always searching outside of themselves. Like, if I go here and do this, this will heal that. Or if I go here and I take this pill, this will magically go away.
So it's always external.
Nobody was ever searching internally. And with Revolutionary Care, that's why I named it Revolutionary Care, because the revolution is with inside you. So if you can start at the center of yourself and believe like, hey, this is helping me heal, working with this massage therapist, doing this specific type of massage therapy work, that is just a combination of the healing that I need in its entirety.
And if you could put yourself back in that mindset when you were first deciding to step out on your own, do you remember what you viewed as your first big challenge or thing you needed to do to make that business happen?
If I'm honest, I don't think I knew. I think that I was scattered. I really didn't know. Looking back, now I know it's organization and having the resources to help me understand how to like have an intake form. Or, you know, when I'm at an event, what type of insurance I need to make sure that I'm protected. Now, looking back, like you learn these things along the way. But before getting started, I had no idea.
Sure. So you're 2 years into this endeavor now. Can you tell us a little bit about what the challenges of maintaining a business have been? Not starting, but keeping it going.
Keeping it going is, well, a lot of it is organization. Everything is really contractual. So being able to have those things in my email or, you know, at my availability, as soon as they say, hey, Resna, you know, we found Revolutionary Care here. We want to work with you. Being able to shoot them over an agreement.
So really simplifying that customer process.
Yeah, you have to, because you don't look professional. You look like you have a hobby and not a business. It also makes people who are trying to contract you as a business have respect for what you're doing.
I do want to dig a little deeper. You said, I have a business, not a hobby. Can you tell me more about what you think is at the core of the difference between those two?
You have to make money from your business. You know, and I think a lot of practitioners, especially in the holistic field, feel very like walking on eggshells about, you know, really standing up for the value of what they bring. But, you know, when you go see a doctor, you have to pay. When you go see a dentist, you have to pay. And so I have really been fortunate enough to understand from my corporate background how to set those parameters when I'm speaking to people, when I meet with people, when I meet with clients, offering them options, understanding my target audience, offering something to people so they can be a part of the experience of understanding how holistic massage therapy would benefit them and so on and so forth. So really being clear about what your business is, mm-hmm. who are you serving, how do you want to grow? I think that's critical for people who are starting out in business to have a lot of clarity mm-hmm. before you spend money and buy new products or rent a space, because you don't have a plan. You're going to have a hobby.
I also want to bring you back to the time when you had just finished massage therapy school. I assume that there's a license attached to that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me more about the licensing process and then what it's been like to keep that up?
So the licensing process, after you graduate the clock hour program, you have to sit for your boards. And it was fairly easy. Like, I just scheduled my MBLEX. That's what it's called, your MBLEX. And I went, you know, and took the test somewhere downtown. And now I believe it's pass or fail, but at a time you had to have a certain percentage to pass. And then every other year, you have to take continuing education classes for your license to stay valid.
And do you find the continuing education classes applicable to what you're up to and also easy to access?
They're easy to access because if you're a massage therapist, then you definitely have insurance. And usually if you have it from like AMTA, which serves our community, they always have continuing education on, you know, their platform, their website. Is it applicable for me? Not all the time, because my practices are more Eastern. And where I went to school, and generally speaking, massage therapy tends to be more Western. So I'm looking for more Eastern modalities like cupping or Thai massage or some type of energy work with movement. And that's not really what's offered. So I really, a lot of times, have to end up consulting with people and paying out of my own pocket.
To get the kind of continuing education that's actually applicable.
And pay to keep my regular CEs together. So it's like I'm paying out a lot to maintain the license.
Yeah, that sounds frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
So you've chosen a mobile model for right now. What was your sort of motivating factor for being mobile, and to what extent did regulation play a role in choosing?
Overhead. I understood that I had never been an entrepreneur, never had a business, and that it wasn't really going to serve me to like take out a loan and to have a brick and mortar space or to have a space that I rent out, and I knew nothing about the scope of the industry. So mobile gave me the freedom to not have to worry about that stuff just yet and to really grow as a massage therapist and see all of these different kind of people and events and different type of places, like whether I'm on a beach or I'm, you know, doing the marathon, just to like get that type of experience and see, you know what? Now I feel like I'm ready to take a loan and do a brick and mortar. Or hey, you know what? I really like the freedom of mobile.
When you say you do mobile massage, what does that look like? Like, what are the spaces you're usually offering these services in?
So it can be a client's home, but a lot of my business now has transitioned to corporate chair, I guess because I'm able to like kind of speak their language. And so I go into co-working spaces and, you know, I set up my chair. I have like the wellness room, wherever they have that. And different people, you know, come in and get 10-minute chair massages, 15-minute chair massages.
And to what extent did regulations around operating in each of the different spaces, how did that
regulation
play a role?
Is very difficult with massage. There are places like where you can rent spaces, but like I looked in Hyde Park with a specific company and they're like, oh, no, we don't have massage in Hyde Park. You can't have massage in Hyde Park. And I'm like, I know for a fact that there are like two places that offer massage. So I'm like, wonder what that was about. So that's kind of still something I haven't really figured out.
So it sounds like you've heard that it isn't possible to open massage in Hyde Park, but you're not sure about the policy or very real barriers.
No, I mean, there were things that you can't have a massage studio next to a school, or it can't be within a certain area miles of a sports clinic like Athletico or something like that, you know, and these are things that are known because we teach them at Coursiva, but I didn't really do extensive research for 2019 on like what's changed in the area. I live in Hyde Park. I love Hyde Park. It's my community. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to work in Hyde Park, but it looks like there's a lot more challenges there.
If we could switch gears, what's one word that you might use to describe doing business in the city of Chicago?
There's so many words running through my mind, but the word would be determination. You have to be relentless, especially in the city of Chicago. There's a lot of elusive things, you know, when you're a business owner and you're trying to get something off the ground and you're having an event or whatever, you run into like permit issues or you have to pay for this or for that, and they might send you to talk to an alderman, and you know, these are uncharted territories, so you can't be timid, but there's a fine line of advocating for yourself but being respectful. And most times, you know, when you're a small, like, people don't know who Revolutionary Hair is, but they know who Massage Envy is. So I think the weight of that, people are like, psh, I don't want to talk to this person, you know. So you really have to be determined every step of the way.
And what does it look like for things to be elusive here? What's an example of one time when you were like, why isn't this clearer?
So being a vendor with the city of Chicago in the summer and the winter, when they have like Kris Kringle Market and all of those things, as a small business owner, you're able to come and set up, you know. And there's different tiers, like you can have a tent or you cannot have a tent. On the website for the city of Chicago, you can't really figure out what they're saying about the different tiers of vendors. So I'm like, I'm going down there. So I go down there and it's just, you're met with a lot of resistance. I don't know if people are just unhappy doing these jobs or maybe I'm catching them on a bad day. It's just, you're met with so much resistance, and then they tell you to go to one building, and then that building tells you to go to another building. And, you know, I was quoted something like $3,500 for a day, which clearly cannot be right.
Sure. That would be $3,500 massages to even break even.
I'm like, yeah, you know, it's very difficult.
If you could give one piece of advice to the city of Chicago about being a more friendly place for small business, what would that be?
The advice would be to hire people who actually want to serve the community, frankly. Because you can have a lot of things in place and protocols, and this is how we do this, and this is where you find this. But at some point, you're going to need to talk to a human being. You know, at some point, somebody is facilitating, helping them set up or whatever. And you have to have people who want to serve the community, the city of Chicago. Like, if they really don't want to do it and they're just there to do a job, it's never going to be fixed.
And before we wrap up, is there anything that's important for you to share about Revolutionary Care or what it's like to do business here?
I really, really want people to just start owning their power, that you can heal yourself. And I know that that sounds like a big thing to do if we're not just talking about a cold or an ache. You know, there are people who are facing extreme things in health, you know, but reaching out to different practitioners who are licensed and certified, and they can give you a one-on-one consultation and like meet your needs and work with your doctors, you know, or whoever you have on your medical team, that it's important that you do the research, because there's so many things that are not brought to light to help people heal in so many different ways, that if you just open your mind a little bit and do some research, there's definitely other paths to healing.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.